Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to Up Close on Husker Online, where we let Nebraska student-athletes tell their stories. Up Close is brought to you by Sandhills Global and powered by ABM. Do you have equipment to sell? Sell it on auctiontime.com. Now, here's your host of Up Close, Husker Online's Sean Callahan.
And welcome here to this first ever edition of Up Close, brought to you by Sandhills Global, as you heard, and powered by ABM. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com bringing you the first ever edition of Up Close, where we let Nebraska student athletes tell their story. And this is a very, very timely one, a very unique one that we wanted to start off this series of Up Close with. And, you know, pleased to be joined right now by Nebraska fifth-year outside linebacker Damian Jackson, former Navy SEAL. Damian, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11 this week, so it's obviously fitting to have you on as our inaugural guest here on Up Close. We really appreciate you coming up here, taking some time.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, yeah, let's get right into this week. I mean, the big story this week is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and you served in the Navy SEALs for 6 years, and Nebraska wore alternate uniforms commemorating that 20th anniversary of 9/11. They put together a special social media release of that video, and it was taped downtown Havelock in Lincoln. And you were the featured guy in that video. Ora Garst and the social media team put that together. And I mean, it was moving. I watched it again this morning, and it's hard not to get a tear in your eye putting that all together. What was that experience like going through that, just being a part of something like that?
It was good, because I know that after the video was made, that there was a ton of positive comments about that video, and it was good to see that people really wanted to show their support for the 20th anniversary and for this game. But being a part of the video was also good. I'm not really like a video type of guy, so it was good that they just didn't treat me like an actor, and I was just walking down the field, and it was good to see the crowd there and everybody supporting, and good to see the veteran that was there, and then all the other supporters. I really enjoyed it.
Did you have an idea what they were going to be doing with the video, like how it was going to be put together, or did they say walk down the street and boom, it was going to happen? Or
yeah, as we were talking about it before, they didn't tell me anything about it. I didn't even know it was for 9/11 until I got there, and I didn't know the people that were going to be involved, so I didn't really know much about it. So they were just telling me, just, you know, walk down the street, and that's all you got to do. So they kept it a good secret, and it turned out well. I liked it. I enjoyed that they did that.
Was it one take? Did you guys get that done in one?
No, it wasn't. I probably walked down the street probably four times, and then the saluting and the flagpole, like slamming that down, probably a good six times. And then there's a couple like scenes afterwards with people just standing around and taking pictures and stuff. It didn't take that long. We were probably there for an hour, but probably four or five takes.
So what kind of, you said you got a lot, I mean, what kind of response did you get just from that video as it went live? I mean, it's got hundreds of thousands of views now around the world.
Yeah, just positive. Everybody was just thanking Ora and our team and Nebraska for putting a video out like this. So just everything that I read was extremely positive, and thanking us for doing something like that and just remembering what happened 20 years ago.
And, you know, why we brought you here was this 20th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, Nebraska was the first college football game that got played that day. And you guys will obviously honor that moment on Saturday against Buffalo. Have you seen that tunnel walk from 20 years ago? Have you at least seen some of the clips of the first responders that came out of the tunnel instead of the Nebraska football team that day?
Honestly, I have not. I only saw at the very end of the video that that they did that back in the day. But I haven't seen the full tunnel walk.
Uh-huh. And that's why we're talking here now too. Obviously your story is so unique. There are walk-on stories at Nebraska. Then there's your walk-on story. I don't know if, you know, there's guys that have done this or that, but I don't know if I've ever heard a story anywhere like yours, a guy that didn't play high school football, that went into the Navy SEALs for 6 years and then walked on to Nebraska. And you're in your fifth year now. I mean, it's hard to believe. And you could come back another year.
Yeah, I will be back another year for sure.
So you're going to do 6 years.
Yep.
So what do you have your undergraduate degree at this point?
I graduate in December. I've kind of strung it out a little bit longer than most people, but I'll have it soon. And then I'll just be playing for the next year.
Was this what you imagined? Like when you came here in 2017, did you envision it all coming to form like this?
Kind of, because I knew that I hadn't played football at all and I didn't have any experience or skill in the sport. So my goal was to try to get onto the field and have playing time by my third or fourth year. I already knew that I was going to have to sacrifice the first couple years because I wasn't good enough at all. So in my mind, just from the day I stepped foot on here, I knew I was going to have to be on scout team and just work my way up. I always think of it as like I don't really have any true skill in football, but I have great work ethic, and I'll try to work harder than the people around me. So in my belief is I'll just keep working and working and working until I get on that field. Still to this day, even though I get playing time, I don't think I have the skills as some of the other guys on the team, but my work ethic has gotten me to the point where I can play and I can hold up against the guys that are on our team, if that makes sense.
Let's go back to 2017 and kind of how it all started. Did you, it was the Mike Riley staff back then. Did you contact somebody on that staff? How did you just say, hey, I am done in the Navy SEALs. I didn't play high school football, but I want to play football for Nebraska in the Big Ten Conference.
It was extremely complicated and hard. I think it was probably one of the hardest things I had to do was trying to get onto this team. And before I got out of the Navy, I knew I wanted to play football. And I didn't know where to go, didn't have any answers for any of that. I don't have any film, don't have anybody to call or contact, couldn't do anything like that. So what happened was I just applied to about 15 schools, and I took the top 25 poll, and I was just choosing those schools, and I was registering for all those because I knew I had to be at the school or be registered in classes in order to try to be a walk-on on the team. So as I was going down the list, I applied for maybe 15. I think I got into about 10 of those schools, and my mom's boss actually used to go here in the 60s, and he mentioned that Nebraska had a good walk-on program. So that was in the back of my mind. But before all that, I was writing emails every day to every school, trying to just get in contact with somebody, some of their like recruiting people on their teams, but I wasn't getting any responses. And then if I did get a response, it was like maybe go check out some D2, D3
or junior college or something.
Yeah, just something like that. So I wasn't getting anywhere with it. So my plan was to just basically pack up my bags and whatever school I chose, when the first one was Nebraska because of my mom's boss that just used to go here, I just packed up my bags, came here, registered, and they actually had in-person walk-on chances, like tryouts. And I don't think they don't have those anymore right now, but I went to one of those, and we did the 40, we did some agility drills, and then we did a couple other things, and I was doing it for inside linebacker, and I never done any of those drills. But after that tryout, it was right when they were going on spring break, and Kenny Wilhite was the one in charge of all that. And he said if you don't get a call within a week, you didn't make the team. And I actually didn't get the call within the week. So what I did was I called Kenny and asked if I made the team or not, and he actually said no. And I didn't make it. And this is where like the really like all the stressful parts came into play. Once I didn't make the team, I wrote an email to every single person on the staff saying that like I'll pay for my pads, I'll pay for my own locker, you don't have to do anything, I'm a free person, like I'm just free and I'm here for that. I emailed the whole staff, and then I waited outside UNL out the stairs of the stadium for Mike Riley or somebody to walk down. And he finally walked down like day three while I'm just sitting there, and I ran over there and talked to him. And then the next day, Kenny called me super pissed that I emailed everybody, but he gave me a chance. And he said that you have a week to prove yourself, and if you don't, you're off this team. And all I did, I just shut up and went into the locker room and just stayed away from Kenny and just stayed away from all the staff, and I tried to just go to work. So I actually didn't make the team when I tried doing it, because who would want somebody that's never played football before, you know? So I just, it was stressful, but just, I just put my foot down and went for it.
Have you seen the movie Rudy?
Yeah, I have.
I mean, it kind of reminds you a little bit of that, just the unorthodox path where he had to come join Notre Dame's football team in a similar way, but I never knew that. I mean, I
haven't really told too many people that. Like, when I first got on the team and I had those interviews, I really hated interviews, so I didn't want to get more into that, but...
Well, it's tough, like, after practice in a five-minute post-practice interview to tell that story you just shared.
It was stressful because if I didn't get on the team, I was going to pack my bags after that semester and go to the next school and try it again, and then go to the next school and try it again. So it would have been this just downhill trend of trying to go from school to school until somebody accepted me. So I got really lucky getting on the first team that I tried out.
Yeah, just, I mean, you had never run a 40 before, I'm guessing.
Nope.
I mean,
don't even know my time when it happened. Kenny said, "Oh yeah, you ran good." And I was like, "Okay."
But when they see, I'm guessing when they see, oh, this guy didn't even play high school football. You know, like it's probably. And I remember when you first came here, they were trying to teach you how to long snap and they're just trying to teach you whatever they could to make you a valuable part of this team.
Yeah, I started as an inside backer and then got moved to D line because it was a little bit easier mentally.
When did it turn the corner? I mean, do you remember? I'm sure it took a year or two just to kind of get your feet wet. I remember you got in, though, that Bethune-Cookman game. That was the first, you know, your second year at Nebraska, you got into a game. I mean, there's a lot of guys that played here that never got into a game before, ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never played high school football and you got in your second season. So, I mean, just even that alone, you know, when you look at that accomplishment, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I think it really turned the corner last year. I unfortunately had to have surgery right before the first game last year, but a couple weeks later I got a little bit healthy and I was able to start playing. So I think last year was kind of the turning point of when it all came to fruition, all the work.
Did you just want to play football? I mean, did you want the structure and kind of an organization, kind of like a unit, almost like what you were a part of in the SEALs? I mean, is that what drew you to want to be a part of an organization and a football team?
So when I was getting out, when I was deciding what sport to play, it was football, but it was mainly because I played soccer and baseball my entire life. And by the time I was getting out of the SEALs, I was already 245, 250, and football was like the go-to, like, I fit in this position right now, so I want to try for this. And that's how I chose football. So,
wow. And so when you came to Nebraska, though, like, I just can't even fathom, like, in high school, what did you play? Baseball? I think I read baseball.
Baseball and soccer. Yeah. I was a foreign exchange student in France my sophomore year of high school. And that's where I picked up soccer. And then once I got back, I was playing baseball and soccer.
So that's another story I never realized. So you lived in France.
I was a foreign exchange student. So I was there for the school year, 10 months.
Do you speak French?
Used to.
I haven't spoken rusty.
It's been way too long.
What was that like? I mean, you lived in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was born in California and moved to Vegas when I was about 12.
12, and how did you just say, you know what, I'm going to go to France and be a foreign exchange student for a year?
Honestly, it's I don't know what to tell you on that one. It's just every decision I make is just kind of like, let's just go for it. Yeah, you could ask my mom. It's always just like these crazy ideas, and she supports me, and we just go for it. She told me if I pay for half of it when I think I was 13, 14 at the time, if I got half of the money, then she'd pay for the other half. So I sold newspapers and built skateboards and got half the money and then just went. There was no rhyme or reason to it. It was just something that popped in my head and I wanted to do it, and we went for it.
Do you think very many of your teammates, especially the newer, younger guys, they even have any idea of your story? I mean, when you talk to guys on the team and understand kind of the life you've lived, I mean, being deployed, being a SEAL, and all the things that you've done before you got to Nebraska?
I don't know. I know a lot of the guys knew that I was in the military and that I was a SEAL, but I honestly don't talk about it a lot in the locker room or just around the guys. I don't really tell stories or anything like that. I try to keep the whole military side out of it. I just want them to look at me as a football player, but they definitely know. I don't know if they know what the extent is that they know of my story, but I think they know at least I was in the military.
Now, 6 years you were in, I mean, what just made you decide, you know what, 6 years, I'm going to move on to college and do this. I mean, what was the decision to kind of leave the SEALs at that point for you?
Honestly, it was my age. So I was going to get out at 24, and it was either get out or stay in, obviously. But I wanted to try to play a college sport before I got too old, because if I reenlisted, then I would have got out at 28. Then I would have been probably a little bit too old. So it was really just a decision of me wanting to play a college sport, and it was at the right time, like the right age when I was 24, and that's what really got me out. It had nothing to do with me wanting to leave the SEALs and just like wanting to get away from it. I would obviously love to be back in and just be out there, but I just got this itch to go do something else, you know.
So are you 29?
I'm 29.
29. So if you come back next year, like you've talked, you'll be a 30-year-old Nebraska football player.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But does your body feel 29?
No, I don't think so.
You take good care of you. I mean, I'm guessing you don't put too many bad things in your body to be keeping up with 18-year-old, 19-year-old guys on a practice field.
Yeah, yeah. I feel pretty good. You know, they take care of me, and they got a lot of rehab things in there that I can do. And I'm just in there always just taking care of my body.
With your experience just doing what you've done, how do you try to use that to help younger guys and mentor younger guys that might be struggling and going through transition? Because I think when every guy gets to Nebraska, they have a thought of what they can be. Then it's a lot harder for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Do you try to help younger guys and work with younger guys, whether it's in the weight room or in the locker room or behind the scenes?
Yeah, I'm always in the weight room with the guys that like the new groups that come in. I'm always around the new freshmen and just trying to help them out and show them the way. I'm kind of hard on them most of the time, but it's just so they, you know, take a step in the right direction so they don't screw around when they get here. But I'm usually the guy that does all the punishment, and I'm just that guy that's around that you don't really want to get in trouble with. But for sure, I'm especially in the summer or in the winter, I'm there with every lift, every single group. It doesn't matter if they're older or younger. I'm just trying to make myself known that I'm there, and I'm there to help, and I'm usually out there trying to coach and teach them.
Has anybody ever tried to practice fight you before? I can't imagine.
No. You're some guys joke about it, but not too much.
I'm just thinking, if somebody tried to there's some tough dudes though, like Nash Huttmacher, and some of these guys were big wrestlers.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing your level of training, if a practice fight happened, you'd be well equipped.
Yeah, nobody really bothers me in that area.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow. Well, we're talking here with Damian Jackson, fifth-year senior, former Navy SEAL, on this 20th anniversary of 9/11. As Nebraska gets ready to play Buffalo, you're listening to Up Close, brought to you by Sandhills Global, empowered by ABM. As we talk with Damian, something I've always been curious, what do you want to do after football? I mean, you hear rumors that this guy's going to be like a strength coach at Nebraska or strength coach somewhere. I mean, you're basically like an extension. I mean, you look like Zach Duvall with your beard and whatnot.
I think he looks like me.
He looks like, yeah. Is that what you want to get into, is strength and conditioning training when you're done with college football?
I'm not sure. So I'm going to take football as far as it can possibly go. And then, if the opportunity presents itself, I would definitely love to be a part of the staff or do some strength and conditioning. But I'm at the age where I haven't had an income for a long time. So if I'm pretty sure I'll either go back into the military or go back into some type of contracting, something like that. But I would love to be like strength staff or something like that, but it would just have to be on the right terms because I can't go another, you know, couple years with no money. I don't want to be an intern for forever. That's the honest answer. But so right now I'm thinking that there's a lot of private contracting that you can do after that.
Yeah, and I always see you with Chris Walker. Yeah. You know, he's a guy that it feels like you guys are kind of the players that lead the weight room in your own respective ways.
Yeah.
Talk more about that. I mean, you and Chris obviously haven't played a ton. I mean, you've played some on the field, but I think behind the scenes, your role is so much more valuable to Nebraska football.
Yeah, I would consider Chris and I kind of like the test dummies in the weight room for Zach Duvall. We always get the crazy workouts from him, and he tests them out on us. But it's good that Chris is an animal in the weight room, and we're just always in the front, you know, just showing the way. And it's good that he's always in there. To be honest, it's crazy after these couple of years that how much like we've both grown in the weight room. And I think everybody knows that like these two are the guys. There's a couple other guys as well that are just, they lead the way. And then this is like how you do it. It's just crazy amount of effort and intensity that guys like Chris give. That's good for the weight room, good for people to see, especially the young guys. And guys like Chris and myself, we always, if there's new guys that come in like Jalen Weaver, we always take them and try to, you know, shape them into what we want them to be, because like guys like Jalen, he's huge, you know, he could be something amazing, and we like to get our hands on him and try to show him the correct way.
So when you came here, I mean, give me an idea of like what you were benching and squatting and cleaning at that point and where it's at now today for you in the weight room.
Oh God. So when I got here, I weighed about 245, 240. And we had a different strength staff, so we didn't do the same type of max out squats and bench. But I think my squat was probably about like 405, maybe 465.
And you thought you were like, that's pretty good. You're probably thinking,
yeah, it was decent. And a bench, I don't know. I've never been good at bench. It was probably like 275 or something like that. These are just ball numbers I'm throwing up. Yeah, I don't really know. And I didn't really clean too much with the other staff. And then now, I know. So bench is probably about like I've done over 405. Can't give you an exact number. I'm not, like I said, bench isn't my greatest, but I'd say like around 405, and then squat around like 600, 650. We've done before. We've put on the bar. I don't have exact numbers. Can't remember. But we always do, like when we go heavy like that, we always do metabolic type workouts, and we
keep your heart rate up.
Yeah, and we're going for like sets of reps of 10, you know, as we got like 6-7 plates on the bar, and it's, I don't really know what number to give you for that, but we're doing like 6-7 plates for 10 reps, and we're going 3 times in a row, just going really, really fast. So it's the strength is crazy that we've built up over the years.
Yeah, let's go back. I mean, I remember when Zach Duvall first came, Mike Riley's staff had been let go, and there was over 50 days kind of between organized workouts for Nebraska, and Duvall put you guys in the weight room for that first workout. Were you even tired that first workout of Zach Duvall? I mean, were you prepared for something like that?
Yeah, I got lucky because before we started the workouts, me and Chris went to the rec over that's on campus, and we actually squatted a lot and we benched a lot, and we were super sore the week before. So when Duvall had us do the first metabolic, basically everybody died. And
well, like literally some guys went to the hospital because they weren't conditioned to do it.
Yeah, we were not conditioned well. And after that first day, like I was super tired after that. And I think everybody was beat to hell after that first day. But once we came back, no one can feel their legs. No one can even sit down, like walk down the stairs, sit on the toilet. Everybody's legs were shot. So Chris and I got lucky because we already went past that point. So we were good. And there's some other guys that were good and we were ready to go. But for the most part, we got our butts kicked.
What is the biggest difference when you look at what you do now in the strength program than from what you did maybe your first year at Nebraska? I mean, was it drastic differences in what you did in the weight room?
Yeah, it's just the difference of coaches and what their program is. The staff before us was heavy into Olympic lifts, and we still do Olympic lifts, but they were like kicked up a couple notches on that, and it wasn't a lot of like max out squats, and it was a lot of form stuff. And with Zach's crew, it's a lot of the metabolic workouts, and we get a lot of weight under ourselves, and our strength. I feel like the strength has just gone up crazy numbers from everybody that's been doing the metabolic. But I can't really speak on the first year because I could hardly even remember it, to be honest. And I just remember it being a lot of Olympic lifts and a lot of form and technique.
Who's been the biggest physical freak you've seen in a Nebraska weight room the last 5 years?
Biggest physical freak?
Just guy that you're like, holy cow, this guy's got so much natural physical ability in the weight room.
It's honestly, it's a lot of the DBs like shock me because of how much they weigh, like Cam Taylor, Deontay Williams. Like I'd say for the most part, those guys, they shock me the most because we're over here, like the big guys. I work out with the power, like the O-line, D-line. We think we're good. We're squatting like 6-7 plates, but then Deontay Williams or Cam Taylor, they're doing 6 plates on their own over there. And it's like, how the heck does somebody, you know, with that frame lift that much weight? And I'd say for the most part, it's them. And then there's guys like the Polar Bear and Ethan Piper that just came in and they could just squat more than I've ever seen.
For incoming guys, yeah. Are Piper and Nash Huttmacher as far ahead as you've seen of freshman guys that come into Nebraska?
Yeah, Nash was on another level, and so was Pipe when it came to just bench and squat. They're like, you know, Nash and his dad, they have their own thing going on. But he came in just with crazy numbers. You know, he could already squat more than I can. He could already bench as much as I can. And it's just...
And he goes low, right?
I mean, yeah, he goes low.
You get guys
that
say they can squat a lot, but they're doing like half squat.
No, he does. He does. He gets down there. Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I'm sure you get a lot of guys that think they can squat a lot, but they're only doing the half squats.
Yeah.
Do you get on guys right away if they're not going down all the way?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Put a chair down below them and...
Yeah.
Bring them up. Well, when you talk about Nebraska, what has been your favorite memory so far in these 5 years? When you talk about games, moments, is there a couple moments or memories that still stick in your mind today?
Honestly, it was getting that angry text from Kenny that I made the team. That was.
Do you give Kenny a hard time, or do you still avoid him?
No, we're good now. But I avoided him for a very long time, probably 2 or 3 years. But we're good now. But that was because, like I said, it was super stressful trying to get on the team and just being in there and being in the locker room for the first time and having my name up there on the iPads there on the locker. That was one of the greatest ones. Just simply making the team was the best.
The best moment. What about like, what's your favorite road trip you've been on as far as like opposing stadiums going into? Do you have one at all?
The one that jumps out at me is Wisconsin, just because. They were playing a certain song that made the whole
jump around
that made the whole stadium. It was a night game and it made the whole stadium just jump up and down. And that was, it sticks in my mind just seeing the whole stadium. It was crazy.
Trying to think here as we wrap things up with Damian Jackson. When you got to Nebraska, did you have any idea the level of fandom here? I mean, at all, like
I didn't know anything about Nebraska when I got here at all. I had my mom's boss tell me a little bit about like the walk-on program, but I had no idea. Yeah.
Do you see yourself wanting to live in Nebraska when you're done, or being, you know, keeping some roots in the state?
Honestly, I don't know what's going to happen after or where I'm going to go. I don't think I'll be here in Nebraska unless something like strength and conditioning like program pops up. But I probably won't be staying around.
Just kind of depends on what your next move is, but you'll be back. So you'll come back for the fall of 2022 and then be done in December. That's kind of like your timeline right now.
Yep.
How bad do you want to get this turned around?
Bad. It's been ever since I got here, it's just been mediocre, and we're putting a foot in the right direction right now. And everybody is tired, sick and tired of losing. And we want to turn this thing around for sure.
Yeah, what's your message to fans? Obviously, that Illinois game took a lot of steam off people, you know, and you got to win against Fordham. You got a couple of really tough games now coming up here down the road with Buffalo, Oklahoma, Michigan State. I mean, what's your message to fans that you are going to get this thing right?
I mean, even with the loss, we're just going to keep our steam rolling. I don't think anybody in our program or on the football team thinks that this is going in a bad direction. And we see it every day with practice, the intensity, the intent, everything's just better this year. So we haven't lost hope, and we're just going to keep trucking, you know.
Well, Damian, this has been a lot of fun. I've seen you around, obviously, the last 5 years and never have really had a chance to truly hear your story. So we really appreciate the chance to get to talk to you here today and let you really share your story to Nebraska fans, because there's so much about it. Like, I had no idea that you were actually cut.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does.
So you know, it's great. And thank you so much for all your service and what you've done for our country. And as we remember this 20th anniversary of 9/11 and how many people around the world are going to remember this day. And just within this Nebraska football team, we've got a direct connection with you being a part of the Navy SEALs and the video that they put out for this week's game.
Thank you. I appreciate being on here.
Well, that wraps it up here for this first ever edition of Up Close. Once again, Up Close is brought to you by Sandhills Global and powered by ABM.